Tonight's shir, Parshas Hazinu. Galinsky said once asked Rav Dessler, that's all. The Gemara says in Brachos about a certain Talmid that he went to in front of the Teva to be the Shliach Tzibur, and he started off as usual, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Bahanora. But then he didn't stop there. He kept going. V'hadir, v'izuz, v'yarui, v'chazak, v'amitz, v'vadai, v'nichbad. He kept adding to the shvachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Chanina was there. He waited till this Talmid finished. And he said to him, Siyamta l'cho shvachav? He says, that's it. There's nothing else. Mashal l'melech basar adam. It's a mashal to a king who is very, very wealthy. He has all the gold and silver in the world. And somebody comes along and wants to praise the king and says, wow, he has $100. I said, well, $100? He has everything. He has all the money in the world. When he has $100, so it ends up being a genai. So too, if one, whatever one can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it ends up being a genai because he has everything. So it's only a priestess in his kavod by praising him. As the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, what we are commanded to say, we say, Akel HaGadol Gibor, we can just say that because that's what we're told to say. But to add anything else already, it's improper. Fine. He says, the question is, what he asked of Dessler is the following. He says, imagine, again, let's say you have a king that he has all the milas in every area. And someone would say about this king, you know what? He knows how to draw. And his son, in his math notebook, the king drew for his son the front page of his notebook for him, like a picture in the front page. So he said, "What? That's what you praise the king about? And he knows how to draw a little picture?" He said, "He's got all the milas, and that's what you're praising him about? That sounds strange, right? Of course, surely based on the Gemara. Yet, he says, the Chazal tell us from a." Also, pasuk in this week's Seder, Hatsur Tamim Paolo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect in his actions. But the darshan from the word Tsur is Lashon Sayar. Similar as it says, Ein Tsur Kelokeinu, Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. There's nobody that can draw like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Rav Galinsky asked Rav Dessler, he says, I don't understand. You know, we're not allowed to add even nice, you know, great shvachas of Chodesh Baruch, like we said before, because anything we add is going to be a priestess. And here, what are we saying? That Hashem knows how to draw? That's what we're saying, the greatness of Hashem. What's going on over here? So if that's so said, I'll answer you with a little story. It says, about 200 years ago, there was a king of France, and he wanted to make Paris the center of art in the whole area. So what did he do? He invited the top 20 artists, and he was going to make a competition. And the one who draws the best, makes the best painting, is going to win a nice prize from the king. So to make it at least something that could be judged, the topic was the same that all the artists had to draw. And that is something to do with fruits and vegetables. That was the topic. Okay. So they all went to work. Finally, they finished their masterpieces, and they set it up, you know, on easels, you know, and they had a group of judges that were to judge which is the best painting. So they took off the, you know, covering of all the pictures to see them, and everybody's, wow, I couldn't believe it. One was more beautiful than the next. And sure enough, it was very difficult or close to impossible for the judges to even judge it. They all looked so beautiful, one picture after another. So they didn't know what to do. Well, now what? So he decided, you know what, let the king decide. We'll bring the king here, and the painting he says is the best, that'll win the prize. Okay, so they brought the king in there, and sure enough, he looks at the first painting, whoa, beautiful, wow. Goes to the next one, oh, also. Also, well, he didn't know what to do. And one picture was, like we said, nicer than the next. So everybody's just like looking there and standing, it's like silence, you know, whoa, now what? And all of a sudden, in from the window, a bird flew in. And everybody's like, oh, it jumps, and sees a bird flying in. And what happens? The bird flies and lands on one of the paintings. it was a painting of some grapes, whatever, and behind, like in front of a, on a windowsill, you know. And the bird lands on this painting and starts pecking at these grapes, the picture of the grapes. And until the people started to want to chase him away, chase the bird away, so the bird tried flying through the window. It was also on this painting, painted in the background. And of course, couldn't get through that window either. It was just canvas. Eventually, the bird flew away. So the king said, this painting is going to win the first prize. Why? Because it fooled the bird. The bird thought it was real fruit. The bird thought it was real. It can't get more realistic than that. So that's the story. So Reb Dessler said, so too with the Kodesh Baruch. You want to know, what does it mean? How can you praise Hashem? He's a good artist. He's a good artist. So he says, yeah. He says, the Kodesh Baruch, he created the world, and he runs the world. He does everything. But he's in. He says, then that takes a tremendous, tremendous... Can you imagine Hashem who, like we said... We say in one of the Ikarim and Animamin, Hu Lavada Asa Ve'osa Ve'yas L'chol HaMasim, everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The whole world is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He created the whole world and runs the whole world, yet we don't see him. He's hidden. He says, can you get a better artist than that, that can hide himself so well, even though he's running the entire show, yet you can't find him? He says, that's the Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. And that's Sur Tamim Palo, he's at Sayard, it's Tamim Palo, because he's complete in his actions, because he camouflages himself. And again, it's up to us to try to search him out. He's hiding so well, yet people think, oh, what God? I don't see God, I see nature. Nature. They don't see God. He says, wow, what unbelievable camouflage. That's Hashem. So you want to add to that another little maisa from a Baruch Mimezevich, that once he was sitting learning in his room, and all of a sudden he heard the cries of a kid. And he puts his ear to the window, and sure enough, his kid is crying. So he goes downstairs and tries looking for the kid. Where is the sound coming from? Eventually he hears that it's his grandson. But he couldn't find him. He's looking, he says, where are you, Yankee? Where are you? Where are you? Looking. And here's the crying, can't see the kid. Finally, the kid says, Saba, I'm up here. Up here, he looks up, and he's in the tree. So he says, what are you doing, Yankee? What are you doing up in the tree? So he tells his grandfather, well, it's like this. I was playing with my friends hide-and-go-seek. And I don't know, every time I had to go hide, they always found what was, you know, that the girl searching found me one time, and then... So I thought, I gotta find myself a good place to hide. This is ridiculous. So finally I looked up and I said, hey, this is a great place. It's a high tree and I'll go up in the tree and the leaves, they'll never find me. So that's what I did. I climbed up. And sure enough, I was looking, couldn't find me. And I hear the kids down below and they're still looking. Until all of a sudden, some boy came from the outside and with a ball. And he says, hey, who wants to play ball? And all the kids said, yeah, let's go. And they all ran away. And they left me here. And in the tree, they never even searched for me. I'm here and nobody's looking for me. So his grandfather started crying. So he says, Zaidi, he says, why are you crying? Okay, I was left up here, but why are you crying? He says, you know why I'm crying? He says, because I was thinking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the same way. Here, Hashem creates this world. And he's hiding. He's hiding behind nature, as we said. But our goal is to search for him. He wants us to, here, find me. I'm hiding, but that's your tachlis in this world, to search me out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sure, is crying. He says, nobody's searching for me. Here I'm hiding out. I want him to look for me, but nobody's looking for me. He says, I'm sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, so I'm crying until I feel for Hashem. Okay, next the pasuk says, "Halashem tigmluzos am naval velo chacham." So Rashi says, "What does it mean? A nation that's they're naval and lo chacham. Lo chacham means they don't understand lavina tanoladot. They don't know the importance of looking to see the future, see what's going to be born in the future." As it says in Meseches Tamid, ki ezeo chacham ha'oraya sanola. Who's a chacham? Somebody who sees the future. Now, what does that mean exactly? So he says, makes them Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Says, Lasid Labo, in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Yetzer Hara, and he's going to inshech the Yetzer Hara in front of the Tzadikim and the Rishayim. The Gemara says that the Tzadikim are going to look at the Yetzer Hara like a great mountain, whereas the Rishayim as a Chutzasara, like a piece of hair. So he asks, I don't understand. Right? Everybody doesn't say they're in different places. They're all there in the future. Here's the Yetzer Hara, and he's being shechted. The Tzaddik is like, oh, look at this big mountain. And the Rishayim, oh, look at this hair. This is, what is it? Is it a mountain or is it hair? Well, can't be both. So the Sabrim Yinavardak says, no, that's the answer. It is both. It's a mountain made out of hairs. Meaning that the Yetzer Hara starts off like a hair. It's no big deal. If you chop the Yetzer Hara right away, you can do away with it. Just like take a piece of hair, break it, nothing. So, however, what happens if you take a piece of hair and add another piece of hair to it, another piece of hair, until you have a bundle of hairs? Now break it. Very hard. Say with a rope, you take a little string, and another string, another string, until you make it becomes a very big rope. A little string, a little baby can break. But you want keep adding to it, becomes a rope that even a strong person can't destroy. So too, the Yetzer Hara starts off, just do this little thing, the person who does it, then a little more, and a little more, a little more, and then one thing leads to the next, until, it says, Lecha Avod Avod Azar, a person is Avod Avod Azar. Similarly, Chazal say, Kol Ovir Avir Achas, when a person is over in Avira, and he's Shanava, and he does it again, Nasas Lo Keheter. He does it once, and then he feels bad or whatever. He does a second time already, it becomes a heter to him. He got used to it, and he did it again. And they say in the Vardak that if he does it a third time, then already it's a mitzvah. Right? A second time, it becomes okay to do, but already a third time, is already so used to it, it's a mitzvah to do. So that's the Yetzer Hara. Starts off with a little nothing, gets you to transgress that, at least. So the next thing, till this little hair turns into this big mountain. And like we said, that's the Roes Anola, is to realize this, to see that Chap the Yetzer Hara, when it's still on the hair stage, before it turns into a mountain. That's a Chacham and not a Novel. The Sabbat Nevardach also explains, therefore, the Gemara in Shabbos Peches Amud Aleph, that when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, it says he was kafaleim har kigigis. Right? He turned the mountain over them like a barrel, and said, if you'll mekabel the Torah, good. And if not, sham tehei kuraskem. Then over there is going to be your burial. So, before Hashem asked, the lashon is a little bit funny. Why does it say, and over there is going to be your burial? It should have said, and over here is going to be your burial. They're on the mountains over their heads, accept the Torah, if not, here is going to be your burial. Why over there? So he says, that's the idea. Because it's not over here. The kfur is over there. Here is just a little hair. Right? But what happens, one thing leads to the next, and then eventually down the road, over there, that's going to be your kfura. Not when it turns into a big mountain. So he says, v'ze'inyan ha'yamim ha'noraim. This is actually connects us to the yamim noraim. How so? There's a story related to in the Gemara in Sota Yud Gimel at the Levaya of Yaakov Avinu. It says he came to the Maratha Machpelah and he wanted to bury Yaakov. So Esav comes on the scene and he says, nothing doing. There's one place left and it's for me. I want it. So the brothers, the Shvatim, said, sorry, Esav. You sold it to our father. He sold it to Yaakov. So he said, I sold it. I sold just the extra portion, the double portion of a bechor, but the basic portion for the burial, I didn't sell that. And they said, yes, you did. Our father paid you good money for it, and he bought that as well. So Esav says, yeah, where is the shtar that I sold it? So they said, do we have it? It's just, it's back in Mitzrayim. So he says, okay, show me the star and then I'll agree. So they said, okay, like who can we send to get the stars? They said, oh, we'll send Naftali. Naftali Ayala Shlucha is a very fast person. He'll run to Mitzrayim and get the star. So fine, so Naftali starts going to Mitzrayim. Meanwhile, the Gemara says that Hushim, Dan, the son of Dan, he was deaf. And he turns to them, he says, what's going on over here? How come we're not burying my grandfather? So they said, I guess in sign language or whatever, they told him that what happened, that we wanted to, but Esav, we have to go get the star. So Hushim said, what? And in the meantime, while Naftali's going to get the star, my grandfather's going to be lying here in Bizayan. So he said he took like an axe and lopped off Esav's head right on the spot, and goodbye. So, fine, that's the Gemara. So the question is asked, well, why did it take Hushim to do this? I mean, what about his father, Dan, and all his uncles, all the Shvatim? I mean, these are great people. Surely they knew that Esav, they knew that Yaakov brought it, really. And Esav was Stam trying to me'akev, just, for out of Rishas. So why didn't they just to get out of here and knock his head off? And why do we need Hushim to do it? So famous Bor Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that's all. He says, the answer is because Hushim was deaf. Meaning, says that the brothers, if Esav would have come head on and said, over my dead body, you're not gonna bury my brother Yaakov over here, then they would have said, oh yeah, get out of here. They would have knocked his head off. They would have. But what? Esav didn't come that way. He says, discussion. Let's discuss this. I bought it. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. It was this part. It was that part. Let's prove it. Whatever. So one thing led to another thing. Until they just lost sight of what's going on over here, that their father is lying to Bibi Zion, because they just got into this whole discussion, and one thing led to the next, led to the next. But that's the brothers. But Hushim, since he was deaf, says Rav Chaim, so he was oblivious to this whole back and forth and this whole discussion. And he's just like, what's going on over here? My grandfather's lying over here. And then he killed Esav. So we see this same idea that we were discussing. That here are the great Shvatim, but they didn't realize what was going on with their father because they just got all wrapped up in this, and then this whole discussion with Esav. So that's the danger of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara starts a little bit of this, a little that, and one thing that, one thing leads to another, and you lose track of what's going on. The Yetzer Hara is leading you astray, and he's getting you, and he's destroying you. You can't focus because of one thing to another. That's how the Yetzer Hara works, and that's the lesson we learned from what Esav was trying to attack us. And with this, and we have to realize that's the Amnaval V'lo Chacham. A Chacham is a Roes Anolad. He sees the device of the Yetzer Hara and tries, as we said, to do away with them when he's still a hair's breadth, so it doesn't develop one thing to another and turn eventually into a mountain. Okay. So Pasuk in this week's Sedra, V'dam Einav Tishtechamer. Enough is a grape, and out of the grapes you'll drink wine. So he says, Galinsky, imagine, he says, a guy who was owned a winery. He had a reputation of having a very very top-notch winery. And he was dying, he was on his deathbed. So he calls over his kids and he says, listen kids, I want to let you in on a big secret. He says, yes. He says, this is a secret that I've been holding, and it was told from my grandfather, handed it down to my father, and then when he was about to die, he gave it over to me, and now that I'm on my deathbed, so I want to let the secret out to you. So they said, yes, Abba, what is it? He says, I just want to tell you that you can make wine out of grapes. Wow. And then he was happy, he got this off his chest, and he was able to die peacefully. Meaning that wine could be made out of grapes, it doesn't have to be made of artificial flavors, and artificial this, and artificial that, and even though it's good in that, you don't have a problem of yain nesek and other things as well, and orla and shvi, so whatever. But lamaisa, real thing, the real wine, though, is made out of grapes, not out of all these artificial things. Obviously, this is a mashal. Mashal to what? So he says that the Torah, we find, is nimshal on the one hand to chalav, in one pasuk, as it says, the Gemara in Erev, it says, that deha yiravucha mechol eis, shuchaye hatinok, that it's the child lives off of milk in his early months. And the Torah is also nimshal to yayin. It says, shesu b'yayin masachti, pasuk in Mishle. So we have the Torah like is likened to chalav and likened to wine. How, meaning what? That the Torah, shebichtav, the written Torah, that's likened to milk, which is given, as we said, to the child when he's just born. That's his basic food. And that's the Torah shebichtav, which is the basic bread and butter, in this case the milk, of Yiddishkeit, the written Torah. However, we also have the oral Torah, Torah shebal peh. That's the wine. Wine is not, you just don't take it and drink it. You have to create it first. How do you create it? You have to take the grapes, you have to squeeze them and press them, and then, a lot of hard work. So too, Torah Shebal Peh takes a lot of hard work. As it says, Lo Yagato Metzasa Al Tamin. The person says, yeah, I didn't work hard and I understand the Torah. You don't believe him. Torah takes a lot of hard work. And therefore, the Torah, that's the Baal Peh, which is the hard part, that's likened to wine, which is hard to come by. You have to work hard to get the wine. He says it's no coincidence that the rabbis in Yavne were called Kerem B'Yavne, right? The vineyard of Yavne. Why do they call the Chachamim a vineyard? Well, very good, because the Chachamim represent the Torah Shebal Peh. They're like the vineyard, like the wine that the Torah Shebal Peh is represented by. Says here a beautiful idea. It says that on Chag HaShavuos, right, we celebrate what? The giving of the Torah, the written Torah, the Chumash, written Torah. And it says that Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma for that. You know, we want the Torah, and Hashem gave it to them. And famous question Tosfos asks that if that's the case, they wanted the Torah, they had Nasa V'Nishma, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to put the har over them and threaten them, like we mentioned earlier? Kafalim HaKagigis, what for? They said Nasa V'Nishma. So there's a number of answers. One of the answers given is one that what they accepted was the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah. That they said, fine, great, Chumash, we'll no problem in learning Chumash, right? But when it came to the Torah Shebal Peh, with all the difficulty that comes in learning Torah, I said, that's a little bit too much for us. That we can't handle that. They didn't want the Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore Hashem had to force them. And therefore, the Gemara says they had an excuse for not keeping the Torah Shebal Peh, because they were forced until the time of the Purim story, time of Achashverosh, and at that point they accepted the Torah Shebal Peh be'ahava, and then on it wasn't forced anymore. That's the Gemara. So he says, very nice. That's why, what do we eat on Minhag to eat on Chag HaShavuos? Milk products. Why milk? Because milk represents the Torah Shebichtav, which is what they accepted on Shavuos, which we said, that's the basics. And therefore, we eat milk products on Chag HaShavuos. But the Torah Shebal Peh, they didn't want to accept at that point, we said, because that's hard. And when they finally accepted Be'ava, we said in the time of the Purim story. What do we drink on Purim? Wine. So the wine on the Purim represents the acceptance of Torah Shebal Peh, which is represented by wine, and that which we celebrate on Purim. So, meaning, what's all of this to us? He says, you know, it used to be that people learned Torah, learned Gemara, Kamosha Tzarit, like you're supposed to. Took a Rashi, broke it apart, what is Rashi trying to say, and then look at Tosos, what is Tosos trying to say, and how did Rashi say what he said to avoid the question that Tosos had, and why did Rashi learn the way he did, and not like Tosos, why did Tosos learn he way, not the way Rashi did, and then we went on to the Marsha, to understand the Tosos and Rashi better, and the other Shitas, the Rishonim, that's the way to learn. He says, but unfortunately, many of us nowadays, so putting the kitzer svarim, okay, here, bottom line, this is what it is, what the Gemara says, this is a rap, boom, without, that's the artificial thing. The Torah Shabbat Pez represented by the wine, and therefore the Torah is telling us over here, it's going to be a time though in the future that we can hope that dam enough tish techamer, that the wine's going to come from the grapes again. And it was nowadays, it's all artificial. We're not learning properly. But there will come a time, with Hashem, when the Hashem will bring the Gula, and we'll see the wine coming from the grapes. The real Torah, Shabbat Peh, learning the way it is supposed to be learned. Finally, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was commanded to go up to Har Nebo, to die over there, as Aaron died in Hor HaHar. Pasuk in the Seder says, Al asher lo kidashtem osi b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to die now, not go into Yisrael? Because he was not mekadesh me amongst b'nei Yisrael. So Rashi says, well, what does that mean? As we're familiar, Rashi says, garamtem li shelo et kadesh. You caused me that I shouldn't become holy in their eyes. How so? Marty, lechem, I told you, be the bartem elasela, that you should speak to the rock. Then instead, what did they do? Motion on. They hit the rock and hit it twice. And Hashem said, "Ve'ilu dibruimo v'natan meima belohaka hayamit kadesh shem shemayim." Had they spoken to the rock, it would have brought out a shem kiddush shem shemayim. Why? Shayu Yisrael amrim, they would have made a kal v'chomer. If they would have saw the water come out through speech, they would have said, "Uma asela zeh she'enu l'sachar v'lo l'puranut." It's no reward and punishment, just a rock. She'im zacha in lo matanschar, v'im chata in lo ke. It's not going to get rewarded or punished. Kach mekayem is, and yet it still is doing the ratzon of Hashem, even though it's not going to be rewarded for it or be punished if it does. And it's still the ratzon of Hashem. So v'anu lo kol shekein, they would have said, Kalis would have said, well, so we who are commanded and we will get rewarded and punished, so surely we should do the ratzon of Hashem. They didn't make this kal v'chomer because Moshe just hit the rock instead of just speaking to it and let the rock do its thing. And then, okay. But he says, it's hard to understand. He says, for 40 years, this Be'er of Miriam was going through the desert with them, giving them water. And this is for millions of people. You can imagine tons and tons of water, right, on a daily basis. And this was there, you need water in the desert, And they were living off of this Be'er, this well. And what happens? All of a sudden, Miriam dies, there's no more water, and here's millions of people in the middle of the desert without any water supply. So they got very nervous. They went to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's going to be, you're killing us here in the desert, da da da, whatever. So Moshe says, okay, it's calm down, takes the stick, he hits the rock, and the water comes out. So, sounds like a pretty big Kiddush Hashem, giving a rock, striking the rock, and this water come again, and now the entire nation, millions of people, are able to have water again. So it's pretty big Pella, pretty big Kiddush Hashem, and there was a tremendous Simcha, they finally have water. And so he said, yeah, and let's say Moshe wouldn't have done it like that. He would have spoken to him. He says, how many people do you really think are going to start making kal v'chomers? I mean, they're dying of, oh no, their worry is not going to be any water, we're going to die in the desert, all of a sudden the water, water, let me jump in, start drinking, simcha, gadola. How many are going to sit there and say, wait a second, let's make a kal v'chomer. Here's a rock, it's not commanded, to start making kal v'chomers, how many people can make kal v'chomers? And yet, this is the time of Moshe, you're going to die in the outside areas of Israel because you're not mekadesh. What's the lack of kiddush? Had you spoken the rock, it would have been a kiddush because it would have been a kal v'chomer. So many people make a kal v'chomer b'chol. So he says, what do we see from here? That you don't need, in fact, the whole nation to make this great kal v'chomer. Could be just one or two people. But that a kiddush Hashem caused by through one or two people learning this lesson. That we see from here is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and Moshe bears Monea from those one or two people out of the millions. But the one or two people, fine, this is one or two, but that Moshe Rabbeinu withheld from them that Kiddush Hashem, And that has such tremendous ramifications. It affected Moshe being able to come into Eretz Yisrael. Because the Sabbath Min Devarduk used to say that Lizroa b'chol makom, we have to plant wherever we can, plant the seeds of Yiddishkeit everywhere, b'chol makom, litzor hichen shegadal, and wherever it grows, that's where you harvest. Might not grow in most of the places. Here it grew a little bit. Got something out of it. Harvest. Zorea b'chol makom, and kotzer wherever you can. Let's conclude with the words of the Pele Yoetz in Erech Zechiah. He says the following, I'll quote, it says, Beruach sfasav yuchiach. A person who can, who has the ability, should give Musar, trying to machazik people through his speech. The gam bichtav, and even in writing, he should write down his divrei Torah, send it out. Im chananu Hashem, ruach das, yaseh sefer lelamed ulaholiel. And if Hashem gave him the ability, he should even write a sefer, and get the sefer out. Get it out there. So if you teach people. Ve'im yiske, listen to these words. Ve'im yiske shiyo'ilu dvarav. And if he'll be zoche, then maybe his words will make a point somewhere. Bedor minadoros le'achad mine'elef. Maybe in another 10 generations from then, somebody will get a hold of that book. And there's one out of thousands. Not, it's going to be a bestseller. Somebody's going to book that book in some generation, one person out of thousands, and it's going to hit home, and it's going to change that person's life. He concludes, Dai lo im lo ba lo olam ela ladavar zeh. It's enough that he came into this world for that one thing. That person, in some generation, is going to get chizuk from his words. It was worth it for that one person to come into this world. That's and realize the importance of Kiddush Hashem. To try our very best to Mekadosh Shem Shemaim. Kosh Baruch Hu sees our efforts in Mekadosh Shem, and of course that's really the motif of Rosh Hashanah, right? That we are Mamlich Kodesh Baruch Hu, make him the king, and Mekadosh Shem. So that hopefully we can see that Hashem will follow suit, and see that we are his servants, and give us all our needs that we need for this Shana, so we should have a Shana Tova, and we have to serve Hashem, and continue on our path of Avodas Hashem until the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yimheru V'yameinu.